And we're in Acts chapter 4 as we're following along. Such a great time to be in the book of Acts as these things have just come to us. And it's just great to know that God is going to do something, and we have to be faithful. Lord, our Father, our God, creator of heaven and earth, and things that eyes have not seen and ears have never heard, or ever has a man imagined in his heart, what you have prepared for those that love you. And we would like to just say this Sunday morning that we love you, God. We love you. We thank you that you are good. And as Maria said, that she's not alone, she's single. And that is truly your message this morning from the book of Acts, is how important it is to see ourselves in your midst and not the midst of our troubles and our sorrows. So thank you, Lord, for bringing blessings to us. Anoint this little section out of the fourth chapter, I pray, Lord, of the book of Acts to speak to our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Chapter 4, we're picking up. Last week was the married couples retreat, and somehow I need to work it so that everybody could come to the married couples retreat, even if you're not married. It was great. It was just wonderful, really. We had Brad Stein, the comedian that you've probably seen on television quite a bit. He started out here, and he came and shared his comedy routine and brought the seriousness. Actually, the word was sacredness of marriage to all the couples. Though we were laughing our hearts out, we really were impacted of the sacredness of a man and a woman being married, the sacredness of it. Now that sacredness, we think of that word, has been attacked. Everything is being attacked that's good. Have you noticed that? And we're told in the Bible that's how it'd be before Jesus came back. So we say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we're very grateful for the couples that were able to be out in the desert for a few days and just rest and enjoy one another and feast on the Word of God. And we left off, when I was with you the week before, with the third chapter, when there was a lame man sitting outside the gate beautiful. The beautiful gate, or gate beautiful as they called it, led directly into the temple. And so we saw how that this man, somewhere in his life, gave up praying or asking God for healing, that he ended up asking people for money. And that would be a pretty boring life and job, to just sit and hope somebody will give you something. We looked at this important message of how we are each creatures made by God himself, and he didn't make two of us. He's only made one of us. Some of you nudged the person next to you and said, thank God for that. There is only one of us, and you're precious in his eyes. The Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why would that be precious? Because he's not with us right now that we're hugging, or we're in his casa, we're in his throne room with him. So this society is beaten down so much, nobody's resisting. The tolerant are intolerant, and everything has been turned upside down and inside out. So to stick with the Lord right now is very, very important for each one of our lives. And to live our lives according to the sacred scriptures, these holy scriptures. So Peter said, silver and gold have we none, but what we, such as we do have, we'll give to you. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And immediately, it says, immediately, his ankles were strengthened. And he stood up and began to leap and to praise God. The story picks up right there that the religious leaders are trying to shut it down because there's a lot of people in town for festivities, and they want it stopped right now. Anything to do with Jesus. We don't want it in the public at all, and I'll show you why. As they spoke to the people, and the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. That was the problem. They brought law enforcement with them, the captain of the guard that was around the temple. The Pharisees and the Sadducees are two different sects of people from Israel. First of all, the Pharisees were legalists. They lived by and according to the best of their ability to follow the law of Moses. And not just the Ten Commandments, but the law, the hygienic law, all the areas of law, the purity laws, the sexual laws, the work ethic laws. They tried to just do everything, dot their I's, cross their T's. And they followed the oral traditions of the law. Before they had pen and pencil, they passed it on from father to grandfather to grandson to great-grandson. And all the nation, all the tribes, the 12 of them, always heard the same thing. And it was the parents' responsibility to take what God was saying through Moses, through Joshua, through the elders, and to go back to their own tents and share with their entire family what God has to say. And a wonderful thing is that if you've never studied the Old Testament, when the Jews were coming out of bondage after 400 years from Egypt, and they went into the wilderness, God told Moses to build a tabernacle, a tent, and to set it up in a certain way, to have an altar for sacrifices and burning of incense. And the priests would have special things to do out in the wilderness. And he told them the exact materials to use to badger skin was one thing on the outsides. And inside was the holy place. And that is where they met with God in the daytime. The Lord in front of that place had a huge pillar of smoke, a cloud. And that was the air conditioning in the desert for them because it shadowed them. At night, that cloud turned into a huge pillar of fire. And that was their nightlight when they had to get up in the middle of the night and go out in the desert. They had that light shining on the floor. All their enemies and the wild animals and beasts were afraid of these people because they had this brilliant fire at night, and they wouldn't come near him, and they wouldn't come near him when that pillar of smoke would start to move. Everyone began to break camp. That was the theme, by the way, of the marriage retreat last week, camping. Camping at the Westin. camping. And it was so meticulous how God has every little detail taken care of. Each priest was given an assignment of what they were supposed to do. And they were told what articles to wrap up, how to wrap them, how to take down the hooks and to wrap up the sides of the tent, fold everything the perfect way, and then begin to move with that pillar of smoke. So out of these commandments of Moses, the group called the Pharisees did their best to really be on top of it. They were very legalistic. And they took their religion way beyond anything God wanted it to be, a relationship. The second group we've seen before is the Sadducees. The Sadducees actually held the traditional teachings of the Pharisees in contempt. They didn't like it. They didn't believe it. They denied all supernatural power. But they did affirm the freedom of the human will. Even though they did not believe in spirits or angels or resurrection from the dead, spiritual things, they were totally out of it, considering that. So then you'd look at them today, and these would be what we would read in New York Times, New Yorker magazine, different styles of music called the modernists or the rationalists of their times. They were the people that thought a little bit differently than the masses. And they were miserable people. The Pharisees were miserable themselves. And these two groups are now colliding not only with Peter and John, they're colliding with each other. And it's all about power. So here's Peter out there preaching. They want to stop it. In verse 1 and 2, it tells us who comes. They're greatly disturbed. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So we saw that they went in the ninth hour, which would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and prayer time started and into the evening, and this is where they are now. So they say there's no way we can have a court right now, so let's cuff them and book them, Dano. Let's take them in for the evening. So Jesus was a threat to these people. Now, I don't know that he is as much a threat to those people as he was to the power that these people had. They love their power. They love ruling over people and doing harsh things, and that they would keep the people in line or in control. So he was a threat because he talked just the opposite. So they figured with his death, they just said, forget about that resurrection story. People paid the guards to look the other way, came and got his body and took it out. And so they just said no to the resurrection. And so Jerusalem was somewhat settled down. And then the Holy Ghost came. When the Holy Ghost comes to town, things change and our lives change. And my goodness, I remember when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and I lived in Huntington Beach, and I rode a bicycle to Calvary Chapel that was 6-7 miles away. You would have thought I was riding a Harley on the way home. Man, I was pedaling faster than E.T. going by the moon. I was just really going. I was so excited to tell all my roommates about Jesus. So Jesus becomes a threat to you and me also, because his power is more than our power, and he wants us to relinquish our power. To be a servant, you relinquish everything. He's not going to humiliate us or hurt us. It's just that as a servant, we are able to receive more. And the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. You want to know that? How you could do really well? Become a servant. Serve those that are sitting in the bleachers with you, and serve people. Just serve them. That's the greatest in God's kingdom. Not a celebrity. Not, you don't have to be a big preacher or anything. Just be a servant. Serve people. You'll never know when you yourself will need that. We reap what we sow. Last Friday was kind of a rough day. Sandy and I went out, well, actually on Thursday, to help. Sandy wanted to help with the setup. A friend of ours I'd ask you to pray for, Eddie Taylor, who was a Colorado State Trooper. He died and went to heaven 2 weeks ago now. And his father had asked if I would come and officiate at the ceremony, the memorial for Eddie. So once we got there, I flew out of Palm Springs to Denver and then spent the night, got up and went and had a wonderful time with the Lord, about 2,000 people at his funeral. He's 26 years old, 26. That's way too young, don't you think? 26. Interesting, my brother was killed when he was 26. So I was able to relate a little bit to Ed and Marie and to their growing son and growing daughter, Joshua and Katie. And our daughter and son-in-law, Dave Love and Mindy, have a Joshua and a Katie. And Molly is so great. She's coming to the Bible college in Marietta this September. And Molly and Joshua Taylor are good friends, so she's going to help encourage him, and he's going to make sure that she's looked after for us. But they had a Joshua and a Caitlin, because Mindy and Dave had a Joshua and Caitlin, I think, probably not. But they also had a Molly, but Molly turned out to be the house pet dog, but she got her name in there. I'd like you to think of this for just a moment. All the tension that comes together, all the heads that bang, all the things that are resisting you trying to be a Christian woman or a Christian man, to be holy, to be righteous, to be a godly person, that, you take the punches and you turn your cheek. It might be 5 years or 6 years till you get out of your trial, but you're not going to deny him. I can't tell you the many, many ways the last 6 years the devil has tried me to deny God in the name of Jesus. And I love him. And I know that even though I love him so much, my flesh could deny Jesus. And I'm so grateful that we come out of this trial, and then the school district says, hey, we'd like to make this available to you. So I'm going to read something to you right now. This is written by Rachel Taylor, 26 years old. Beautiful 26-year-old blonde mommy and the bride of Eddie Taylor. Now, Ed survived 3 horrible accidents. All 3 of them rear-end collisions into his police car. One of them was so bad, he told me that when he looked in his rearview mirror and he saw the headlights, he knew it was a jacked-up truck, and this thing plowed into him about 100 miles an hour, and just threw him every which way. And he finally got out of the car, not knowing how badly he was hurt. And he was not hit by traffic that was passing by. God spared his life through all these accidents. And at the funeral were about 200 or more Colorado State Troopers in uniform. And they gave such respect. It was just awesome. They ruled the freeway when we all got on the freeway. I mean, they just took charge with 20 motorcycle officers or more or less and squad cars. There was a guy, we were towards the back of the funeral line. There was a guy that's cutting in and out of traffic, weaving, trying to get past us. And so he cut us off, and then he realized, well, I better get behind him. Just as he did, he didn't know there was a state trooper that was watching him from behind. The lights went on, the siren went on. That guy calmed down very quickly and wasn't trying to pass anybody after that. So now, if you can understand, you're 26 years old. That's how old I was when I gave my heart to Jesus. I can understand that. They loved each other. They went to Marietta Bible College, Calvary Chapel's Bible College at Marietta. And now she's left alone. What I hope you'll pick up here, ladies and gentlemen, is the simplicity of this woman's heart and the simplicity of their love for each other. I just hope that you will sense the purity in the clarity of thought and how fresh to see the love of a young woman for the young man that she adored, taken from her life and her son Levi's life. And this is what she handed me to read. Eddie was my best friend. He was the head of my home, the father of my child, my support system, my everything apart from Jesus. I want to honor him. I want to respect the man that he was, and I want to make him proud. When I first met Eddie, I thought he was kind of rude. Ha! He was talking to my brother David, and I kindly interrupted their conversation. Eddie made one of his snappy remarks to me. I couldn't believe that someone I just met could be so bold. But this is just how he is, right? Soon, we were both off to school. Almost every day, we were running into each other on the very small Bible College campus. And every time we passed each other, we would make a playful jab at one another and go our separate ways. Months passed, and we started to email each other while I was in Israel. I thought to myself, man, God, this guy would be such a good friend. I was really happy when I got home and we started to hang out. I remember the first time we spent together. We had a game night. And Eddie and our friend Sean were in an argument about Cheez-Its. Cheez-Its. I looked at that at the memorial and I had to stop and said, Cheez-Its? And she said, yeah. I said, you sure they're not about Jesus? It's Cheez-Its? And she said, Cheez-Its. So I kept thinking, quote, this guy is so much fun. Not too far after, I received a dozen pink frozen roses for Valentine's Day on my front porch. A note attached saying, quote, there is one dozen, count them. That was the first time I ever had a boy give me flowers. I was so flattered. Shortly after that, he started taking me out for coffee, which he said he liked, and movies. Eddie was the best guy friend that I ever had. I guess I was kind of clueless to the fact that we were dating. July 15th, 2009, Eddie sent me a text saying that we needed to talk. I didn't think a whole lot on it, and I responded that I'd be at church and we could talk then. Quickly after, I got another text saying, no, this is not a church conversation. At that moment, I knew he was going to ask me to be his girlfriend. I spent the entire day praying. Did I like Eddie that way? When he came over after work, still in his state trooper uniform, I might add, he boldly stated, I like you. Will you be my girlfriend? I then proceeded to grill him for a half hour. And this is something that he has never let me live down. 3 weeks later, right before my 21st birthday, he looked into my eyes and he said, Rachel, I love you and I'm going to marry you. My heart skipped a beat. My head started to spin, and my thoughts were going everywhere. A week later, Eddie was jumping out of a plane with me. That is when I knew that this man would do anything for me. Poor guy got strapped to the gay guy. 1 year later, that's in there. I ask her, "You sure you want to say that?" I think you get the point of a big 6 foot something state trooper. Yeah. She said, "Yes, that's public." 1 year later, August 14th, 2010, Eddie got down on one knee in front of Sleeping Beauty's castle and changed my life forever. Eddie gave me my very first kiss. I was overjoyed that this was the man I would get to kiss for the rest of my life. After some months of planning, we were blessed to share in a very special day with his parents to be joined together as man and wife. Now, if you come to the weeks of prayer and fasting on the screen, his father, Ed Taylor, is the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Aurora, very close to our family. We love Senior Ed's family and Marie. Therefore, her verse here is, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. As we went through our first year of marriage, we had our ups and downs. We had our first big fight and our first resolution. We were figuring out life together, and there's no other person I would rather figure life out with. We suffered our first loss in the passing away of our baby. And then we received another great blessing, a great joy in the birth of our son, Levi. Eddie was so excited when he found out about Levi. He was in instant daddy mode. He was so determined that he was having a boy and his son would lack for nothing. He wants Levi to have the best and for me to be spoiled in the process. However, Eddie also tortured me in the pregnancy. He placed cold pop cans on my tummy to make Levi kick. Cold pop cans. Then he would blast Taylor Swift music to my tummy because Eddie had made certain that Levi would love her just as much as he did. He was so protective over our son. He slept with Levi on his chest for the first 3 weeks. He was such a wonderful daddy. Eddie was a strong, amazing man of God. He was fun, which he was, loving, caring, and compassionate. And boy, does he know the Bible. Now he knows the one who wrote the Bible face to face. He was stubborn, determined, and dedicated. All the qualities of a police officer. God gifted him in so many ways. I'm privileged to call a man of such character, my husband. I'm blessed to have had Eddie a part of my life over the past 5 years. I am blessed that I was married to him for the past two. I am blessed that our son has such a godly example to look for years to come. I will forever cherish the memory of the last conversation we shared. The last 10 days has had me wondering, I wonder what my last conversation will be with you or with Sandy. What are the last words out of my mouth when I die? I will cherish forever the memory of the last conversation we shared. It was a Saturday. I went outside as he was working in our yard. And I said, "Babe, I made you a pizza." He responded with, "Okay, I'll be right in. Just finishing up. I love you." Eddie Taylor's famous last words. I immediately began to think that he's there working in the yard, mowing his yard, pulling weeds, that Jesus came out to talk to him and prepared him. "I'm just finishing up. Just getting ready to go to heaven." And all of a sudden, without any knowledge, his heart froze. He'd never had a heart problem before. She came back out, wondering why he hadn't come in for the pizza, and found him lying there. "Okay, I'll be right in. Just finishing up. Just finishing up. I love you." I don't think there's a woman in the audience that wouldn't like to know that there was a man that loved you so much that his dying words were all about you. "I love you." He was a man of love. He and I have talked about his job and pains and pressures in law enforcement. He adored this girl. And this simple, just a simple expression, how she felt about him. It's so clean. So she wrote down 4 verses that God has shown her that will take her the rest of her life. Jeremiah 33, verse 11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope. Psalm 14, verse 26 to 27. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. This morning, I have a friend that is a retired chief of police from out of town, and every morning he sends out to his friends a Bible verse, and this was the verse he sent, and he has beautiful photographs behind the verse. In the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. Psalm 139, verse 5 and 6. You've hedged me behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I can't attain to it. Psalm 139. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. And finally, Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. Wow. Why would the Pharisees and the Sadducees come against Peter and John? The Pharisees were the ones that instigated the murder of Jesus Christ. And now as we start this chapter, we want to start it innocently, with purity in our lives, looking for the Holy Ghost to fall on us as a church and to move through us, to give the gifts of the Spirit, that you start exercising with one another, that evangelism will break forth. There'll be no issues about not buying this facility. We'll all chip in together, whatever it takes. You have ways to do it. I've been buying and selling cars. That money is going to be used for purchasing this place. You might do something else. I don't know what you can do. But this is going to be fun to see. It's going to be fun to see. And that God is going to bless us, that we can bless our city in a very special way. Shall we all stand together? And let's close our time here in the gymnasium and on the internet with all of you and those of you that are listening to the radio. We're just very excited about what God has. And though there are people, there are bad people that hate anything to do with church or about Jesus, and they gather together and place curses and call upon Satan to ruin our lives and your lives and everybody else's lives. And so God is going to do something really great. This is just like when I started way back, is 39 years ago, last Monday, 39 years. And so if I make it to 40 years, I would be, how old would I be? I'd be 49. Somewhere near that. But obviously God has given you a great team of pastors. Sherwood and his wife and kids, can't find anybody better. You think of Caesar Garacy and Veronica and their children. Can't find anybody better with a heart for you. They love you. Gordon and Renee DeBeaver, what love they have for this church. And Gordon counseling marriages and does the seniors study during the midweek. And, you know, there's just a whole team of secretaries. And a lot of us are doing 4 or 5 jobs, but we've held together. And God's love for you, he's got something wonderful coming this way. And we want to be ready for it, don't we? All right, so we're not going to sit back. We're going to say, all right. So, Father, we say, all right. We thank you so very much that Sarah could be here today with us. It's been a long time since we've seen her and worshiped with her. And we thank you that at the same time Maria del Sol can be here and let her heart explode in this room for you. We're grateful, Lord, for everything that you have done for these 39 years. Nobody could have orchestrated it. All the hundreds of churches and parachurch organizations and things that have grown out of here, just overwhelming. So, Lord, we lay our lives before you, and we want to be a part of what you are doing. No matter what the resistance is, we know silver and gold we obviously don't have, but we do have faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we feast on your word, O Heavenly Father, would you let faith explode every time we come together with a great anticipation and excitement to hear from you and to see you move. Lord, bless these men and women. Bless them with the blessing you've given me to be able to serve you and to try to see your will accomplished. May you use us to bless others. Use us, Father. Forgive us. Forgive us for making things complex. When we look at the heart of Rachel Taylor for her husband, how innocent and pure, first time she'd been kissed, just amazing how easy it is to fellowship with you and how you want it non-complex, just walking with you and being with you and loving you. And I'd like to ask while we are praying, is it possible? Is it possible that your simplicity and your love and your anticipation of the Bible and of going to church and being a Christian has faded away? You have actually lost your first love? And you're struggling to get back and you just don't know how? Would you want back today? He wants you back today. He wants you back to that simple life where you just read and prayed and things happened and you accept him, you blessed other people and your life got blessed. But somewhere along the line, you got bumped off the rail and you've derailed yourself. But this is the moment. God is reminding you he's a great God of forgiveness and love. Would you just look up at me and raise your hand right now if that's you? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, over here I see you. Yes, I see you, sir. Yes, sir. Perfect time to come back to your first love and to be refreshed in the presence of the Lord. For the book of Acts is going to teach us in 2 weeks that there is refreshing times in the presence of the Lord. And he wants to refresh and let you be blessed and let your sins be wiped away by the blood of Jesus. Is there anybody else before we finish? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Yes, sir. What a wonderful thing, forgiveness. What a wonderful God that gives it freely. By grace we are saved through faith, not of any works, lest we boast. He just gives it to us. Father, these men and women have acknowledged that they have fallen from their first love. And we would like to pray for them, that your Holy Spirit would baptize them right now, overflow their hearts and their lives, knowing that you have forgiven them and drawn them back. You've orchestrated this morning just for these people. So honor their attendance before you, Lord, and bless them as they desire to be refreshed in your presence and the mistakes they've made, the sins they've committed, the things that have separated them. As you say, your sins separate you from me. May you erase those sins, and may you forgive those sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen.